Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Alcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am running for Public Advocate of New York City to ban vaccines in 2013. However, today we have a show that deals with a different kind of annihilation of children, and that would have to be sarin gas, which is being used in Syria. And if you have seen the bed of what appeared to me to be napping children who were in fact dead, I hope you will call into this program. I am very upset about this. I went to visit my congressperson on Friday, and I said to her, why aren't you signing the letter by Representative Barbara Lee that is saying we cannot go to war without congressional approval? And I was told by her spokesperson that she had, even though her name was not on the list that I had from that day. I believe it was from that same day. So anyway, regardless, I said, really, my point being, I will fight always for Congress to represent us. If you do represent us, and people do not, by any stretch of the imagination, every American I have talked to does not want to go to war with Syria. So I am sitting here getting the word out to say, under no circumstances are we to attack people. This is by no means an imminent threat upon our country. And I have a conscience. Everyone I know has a conscience. If they'd seen pictures of what transpired in other countries, they would have objected to that too. So I just have to say, we must stand to say no more. No more will we be the culprits, the people who are hurting people all over the world. Not in my name, not in your name. No way. And it's always the children who suffer the most. When this sarin gas was released, there were some adults who perished, but mostly they were children. Well, there's really not much more for me to say. I want every single person who, everyone who's been in the protests, which have been conducted around the world, good for you. Everybody who's gone to their congressperson, as I did on Friday, good for you. And Tuesday, everybody's back in their offices. I believe a friend of mine said not until September 9th are they called back, but nothing is to keep you from going to their offices on Tuesday and representing. Say, first of all, Congress must have input, and second and most important, Congress must vote no. No more war. It's over. Not in our name. Okay, nobody's calling in. I know that I could go on and on and on. There's really not much more for me to say. I've said everything I can. Take action. Do not sit silently by. Do not ignore this. It will not go away if you ignore it. I will give it a few minutes for someone to call in. I just had another show. Again, another show. That show's name is Ban Vaccines 2013 on Revolution Radio. But we covered what is happening in Syria on a show that's named Ban Vaccines 2013. But, well, I'm talking to you about that until somebody calls in to talk Turkey in terms of what's going on in Syria. No pun intended there. I will tell you what else I am trying to prevent, what other mass depopulation episode is coming up. For Peace One Day, which is International Peace Day, they brag that they're going to inoculate millions of children with the polio virus, which means so many children will be left paralyzed because that is the intent. Someone is calling in. Thank goodness. I don't want to be talking to myself. This is just too important. Hello?
Sally?
This is Hello? Sally.
Sally,
Hi.
It's Christine Kavner. How are you?
Oh, thank goodness. I'm so glad you called in. I'm having a bird over here, let me tell you.
I know. I wasn't sure. This is the first time I've, like, had the headphones on. I was thinking I could not hear, but I needed to put my headphones into my laptop. It wasn't working for some reason. I don't have, like, a whole lot to say regarding the politics of all this beyond that. Once again, of course, I'm horrified. But I wanted to share something that I did today, if that's okay, I felt inclined to do after everything was on the news, you know, the president giving a speech in the White House and everything. I decided to go for a walk. Is it okay to share this with you?
Well, why not?
Okay. And I got out the door and about halfway up the street, and I noticed this sort of strange tree branch. I've taken a photograph of it once with my phone, and I called the photograph cracked. It looks really interesting. So I came back home, grabbed my camera, my grid camera, and I went for this long walk. And I decided I'm just going to take photos of things that I notice, some up close, whatever, in my mind, sort of if we bomb another country by tonight or tomorrow or the next day. I want to be taking some photographs to remind myself of how I saw things before another war. And anyway, so I'm walking down the street, and I noticed a lot of American flags everywhere, on different people's homes and some in just remote places for some reason, and I was taking photos of them. And I looked to my right, and I saw, down a short driveway, a very old man sitting in a fold-out chair in the entranceway to his one-car garage of a little home. And I had just taken a photograph of the front of his home where he had a flag hanging. And I said, "Hi, how are you?" And I walked up to him, and I shook his hand. And he's like, "Oh, it's so nice of you to come. Nobody ever stops to say hi anymore." And I said to him, "What's your name?" And his name is Tim. And he's a World War II veteran. He's 89 years old. And we talked briefly, and I said I was so grateful to meet him, and I went along my way and took some more photographs, and I passed the Dunkin' Donuts on my way back towards where I stay, and I decided to buy one cup of coffee and an empty cup, cream and sugar on the side, in case he wished to share coffee with me on my way back, and he was still there, and I walked up to him, and he was delighted. And we just sat and talked, and he said to me, "I heard that we might bomb Syria." And I said, "I know, I'm really sad about it." And he said, "Well, I know it's just for oil and resources." Now, this is an 89-year-old man, almost 90, who lost his wife 2 years ago, he shared with me, of 60 years. And then the rest of it was just small talk about his life as a postal worker, and things like that, but I've got a wonderful photograph of his face, and I just wanted to share that it's important that we notice that man and I, that I crossed his path today, are common humanity, and for him to be sharing with me that he's even aware of what could happen in the next days ahead of us and another war with me, and that our common humanity extends around the world. And, you know, I always remember...
That's great, Christine. This is Christine Kavner, my dear friend. She is an ardent peace activist, and I'm really glad you called in, Christine. I really am, and I love that story. You have to give me the picture, and we'll upload it to Picture 2, if you'd like. I'd love that.
Absolutely.
Of this gentleman to the screen so that when people hear this show again, his picture will flash in rotation with others. I pulled this together on a wing and a prayer, and thank goodness you called in and shared that incredible story. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the activism that you have pursued in terms of peace?
Well, Yeah, I sort of shy away from the word activism or activist because I'm just a person who, what I do with other people and around the world is to just share my friendship and my heart and my wish for peace, my dreams for peace in a world without borders with a group called the Afghan Peace Volunteers and a website from which we do once a month on the 21st of each month, a call with Afghanistan and around the world, the Youth Peace Volunteers in Kabul, Afghanistan. And from my part of it, it's just what I just shared with you is friendship and love and our common humanity, a world without borders, friends without borders. Which sort of, I suppose, relates to how that man expressed to me his awareness of what was going on, even though he's so isolated.
Yeah. Well, I have to talk to you about something because you have just brought something up that is unbelievable in terms of what I was speaking about. I was saying the irony that they're going to paralyze so many children in the name of peace. The only thing more ironic is giving people polio in the name of health. And that's what they do when they give these vaccines. Now, this is how it ties in. The first year, they inoculated 1.6 million people. Last year, they announced proudly they had given millions of Afghanistan children the polio shot. I want to know. I have no way except possibly through you of finding what the paralysis that resulted from that was.
Oh, my goodness. I would have to ask around.
Well, I'm telling you, let us do this. And the reason is there were 47,500 paralyzed in India on a far less massive scale of inoculations. They had that many paralyzed children. And another recent thing, they locked a group of 500 children in a school and gave them inoculations, and more than a fifth of them were totally paralyzed. So I really do want to know, out of the millions they're bragging that they gave these vaccines in Afghanistan, how many of these children are not well as a result, you know? Because it's bad enough that they're hungry. It's bad enough that they live in a war zone. It's bad enough that they freeze to death at night
in the wintertime, and children under five and under are dying all the time from the cold.
Well, I'm just saying we need to know, because I'm trying to stop them before International Peace Day from inoculating millions more. I have been writing to the director of International UNICEF, and I have a delegation to meet with him if he will ever meet with me, and I'm trying to raise money for billboards to put outside the UN within view of the United Nations that say ban vaccines, billion toddler march for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so war, vaccines, all of it. We just had an International Chemtrail Awareness Day, a global march against chemtrails. And you know what I said to people? I said they're spraying us night and day. And if they didn't get it, I'd say, well, perhaps you don't realize they recently sprayed children or people, and the children died for sure in Syria. Oh, they got it forthwith. The question became, when do they change the mix from aluminum, barium, and cesium that they're spraying over us to sarin gas? When are they going to get sick and tired of us?
One thing that my entire life, because I, you know, I remember, like, Martin Luther King was assassinated when I was 11 or 12 on my mom's birthday. So that's what I always remember. Sorry, Mom, I think that first. Is to the ways of, you know, peace, nonviolence, and that there was a saying that Joan Baez, I don't remember when she said it, but it was that that's all nonviolence is organized love. And it's not always easy, but I'm reminded, and the Youth Peace Volunteers always help me center on this, is to not come from anger, although sometimes anger is a good catalyst to getting something accomplished, but to try to stay peaceful on the inside in the middle of so many things that are just so sad.
Well, I saw these darling children, and I thought, oh, how adorable. And then I realized they weren't napping. They were dead.
I know.
It did come from love. Oh, how darling. Oh, my God. They're all dead.
But, you know, people need to look at these photographs and understand them in context. And sometimes it's difficult because there's just so much information out there. Some of it's relevant. Some of it isn't. Some of it's blatantly false. Some of it's partially true, partially false. To be able to sift through all of that and make up one's own mind as to, you know, as we think critically and read between the lines sometimes is actually more important than the actual lines themselves. It's info overload. It's a difficult thing. But what you do with all of that is incredibly awesome and so important. You know, I remember even here in our country, in the United States, Sally, last flu season, I've never gotten a flu shot, but I got the flu really bad. I ended up with pneumonia. And I remember my doctor, you know, when I had to get cared for that, he said to me, I'm very confused because he said, you know, most of my patients who are sick got the flu shot and the ones who aren't sick didn't get the shot. So I printed out some information and gave it to him. And he's, I haven't really heard any response in that regard, but I just said, well, that makes sense to me. And I think you and I both know why, but a lot of people aren't aware that, you know, one year I tried to get information from a certain pharmacy chain regarding the flu shot because, is it okay to share this?
Of course it's okay to share this. I mean,
I've never been on a radio show before, so I'm not sure. It was like a huge thing at the counter. I had gone to pick up a prescription for my ex. And it said, get your flu shot here. And so I had, you know, read some information regarding stuff that they don't tell you, of course, there. So I said to them, what about, could I please have some information about this? And they said, oh, well, we don't have that. And I heard a pharmacist behind the person I was asking that question to at a shelf full of bottles of pills mutter, that's a good question. At any rate, I called anonymously, same pharmacy, about a week later and asked some specific questions about the flu shot and what it included and what, you know, what the ingredients were. And they let me know that, well, if you know to ask, then you can have a piece of paper that tells you blah, blah, blah. So the next time I was there, I said, could I have a piece of paper that tells me about what's in the flu shot? I'm considering getting one, which actually wasn't true. And they looked at each other, and it was like pulling teeth to finally be given the information referenced to me in an earlier call on the phone. And that's just, they don't want people to know that the flu shot itself, this is what, I don't know a lot about a lot of other vaccines, but I know for sure about this one. This was 2 years ago, included not just dead flu virus from the prior year's virus, included a small amount of a live virus and the H1N1 vaccine, and nobody was told that. So whoever got that flu shot that year also got inoculated for the H1N1 without their knowledge. And that made me very angry.
Well, it's 100% poison. The question is, does it also include infertility components? Does it also include? I mean, there are ingredients that I understand from a friend of mine, Sandy Lanier, wrote an article about the ones they don't inform you about. The ones they do inform you about are horrifying. So, of what we know in there, it's 100% poison. And even if you take eggs, okay, eggs aren't poisonous, but when you put them in your blood, then you develop an allergy to eggs. And these allergies, be it peanut or what have you, can cause you to go into anaphylactic shock from smelling it. You don't even have to eat it.
Right.
And you can die from anaphylactic shock. So even the ingredients that aren't glaringly poison, like antifreeze, which they put in vaccines,
And that stuff that they use in dead bodies to keep them from rotting, what's it called? Formaldehyde.
That's right. It's just complete garbage, and it's beyond garbage. It's hurting people, and they're clinging to their lives. And unfortunately, having been a person who hits the streets daily and educates people, no matter, you know, what the cost, I will do this, and I will chase parents down the block, and I'm not really mobile, but I'll do it. And this is, you know, and it's what's really sad is it's the Americans who don't know. I talk to parents from other countries, and they're like, I would never allow anyone to inoculate my child. And you talk to an American parent, you may spend 2 hours with them, and they'll go, well, do I have a choice? I said, yes, you do. You can say no. And
right.
And they said, oh, because I wanted the choice to say yes. And I'm like, these parents are so indoctrinated to think that they're bad if they don't want to do this. They're misled to believe that they're doing something to hurt their child if they don't vaccinate them. So
That's right.
Lie is so deep and so profound, and so many children are falling. Somebody's calling me on my phone while I'm on.
Good. Take
online.
The call, Sally, because I don't have a lot of minutes on my phone anyway.
I cannot. We're on air. It's impossible for me to take a call while I'm on air without losing you.
Well, you can hang up from me. That's okay, and take the other call.
No, dear, you don't understand. They're calling my cell phone, not the radio
program. Oh, I see. Okay.
All it does is cut me off.
I know. You know, one time I got a call from my phone rang. This is like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was this person who said, I'm from the Massachusetts Department of Health, and we're doing something about health to better serve the health needs of people in the Commonwealth based on something. I think they referenced the whatever you call it she goes, I have a questionnaire, I'd like to ask you questions. And I said, well, I'll be happy to hear the questions, but I'm not promising you I'm going to answer any of them. Go ahead. But it was a lot of questions. Most of it always came around to wanting to know about alcoholism and use of alcohol and back and forth and back and forth. And then someone more personal, I'd say, I'm sorry, I didn't answer that question just based on principle because I don't know who you really are. I said, well, why don't you give me a website that I could go to for reference, who you are and where you're calling me from. She gave me the name of a website, and then she goes, oh, wait, I made a mistake. I meant to give you, this is the website. This is now, once again, 3 or 4 years ago. I went to the first website she gave me that I wrote down, despite the fact that she said, oh, wait, that was a mistake. You need to go to this one instead. And where I found myself when I went to that website was the CDC website, and there was a link there to a questionnaire. Every single question this woman asked me, word for word, was on the CDC website. So she was lying and saying she was calling from the Mass Department of Health, when in fact it was a questionnaire through the CDC.
And she wanted to know about alcohol?
Yeah, of course, alcohol use and other things too I don't remember anymore, but the last third of it were mostly alcohol and alcohol use related questions, of which, I mean, I don't drink, so I kept laughing and saying no, or whatever. And then things that were of an extremely personal nature, I said, I'm sorry I'm not answering that question because I don't even know who you really are. But I wanted to hear what all the questions were. And I'm glad I did, because she gave me the wrong website, which in fact was the right website, but I just wasn't supposed to know, but she made a mistake. And when I went and checked on it, it was the CDC, and they had a link to, it's like 5 letters long referencing these things that they write up every year, and they call around and have people ask questions. But I learned something else because of that. I read a bunch of articles, and what I found out was that sometimes they call people's parents, people who they know have children in school, and they don't tell them this ahead of time, but the bottom line is, if a parent knowingly or unknowingly, most importantly here the word is unknowingly or unwittingly, answers a question falsely, they can be accused of actually lying to a Center for Disease Control person or somebody who represents some government agency, and they can have their kids taken away.
Well, that's so ironic considering how many lies we are fed by them, like the fact that what they portray as facts, which is that vaccines are beneficial instead of extraordinary.
Oh, and one other thing, Sally, if anyone's listening, they should know too, what I found out from this was that certain questions that people just unwittingly say yes or no to, they don't realize that they are giving whoever is making these calls legal access to their children's medical records to their doctor's office. And they don't even realize that's what they're doing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's I don't remember where this was now that I read this, but yeah, and I cross-referenced it and I did my homework and I connected the few dots before I was sure that discovering this to be so was actually so, and it was so.
Well,
so parents should never take a call or answer any questions from anybody, from any health, anything, pretending to be or not, or being honest about where they're calling from. Either way, no questions answered, no ifs, ands, or buts, because they are unwittingly giving away their legal access to their children's medical records. And also, if they answer something wrong, knowingly or unknowingly, they can lose their children or get in a whole lot of trouble as a consequence of lying to an official without even knowing it.
Well, I have to tell you something, because this is so stupefying. I have rarely heard anything this borderline unbelievable. But they are trying to get hairdressers, because nobody trusts their doctors anymore, with good reason. But they're trying to get hairdressers to talk up the HPV dangerous vaccine to their customers. And help their customers to agree to having it and to getting their daughter inoculated with this HPV vaccine as well. And then,
aren't they trying to get boys to have it, get the vaccine too?
At the end of the conversation, they then get their customer, their hairdressing customer, to sign a piece of paper saying they intend to.
Oh, my God. Where is this going on, all over the country?
Well, actually, it's going on. They're targeting hairdressing salons in Harlem. Surprising, isn't it?
Oh, that's interesting.
So when I read this, I almost fell off my chair. I thought, well, this also just bespeaks, well, first of all, it's obviously racist if you're targeting a black neighborhood in particular. But since when haven't we been sending vaccines to Africa?
I know, right. But why would they be targeting inner city?
It's a bad
law. You know, that's racial profiling of some sort. If it's in Harlem, obviously. What's up with that?
Right. And the fact of the matter is, what they're trying to do is they're using the trusted professional that's left in someone's life. You know, the doctors have lost the trust of the people, and they've earned it. And now the hairdressers is your last bastion of who can you talk to? Who can you trust? My hairdresser. I trust my hairdresser.
Your hairdresser knows for sure.
Right?
Sorry. Only your hairdresser knows for sure. Didn't that used to be a commercial on TV or something?
Right, for hair coloring. You know, does she or doesn't she? You know, hope so. As Carl used to say, hope so.
Well, this is a far cry from a 90-year-old World War II veteran in his driveway and a cup of coffee, I must say. But,
well, he sounds like he was very happy that you cared enough to be a human being, and that's all we're really asking for when we're asking for peace.
He said he's lived there for 27 years, and nobody comes and says hello. Nobody. He's 89 years old. Like, I always try my best, especially if somebody's really old, to acknowledge them and say hello and let them know that someone noticed that they exist, you know?
You're actually reminding me of a movie I saw. This is a long way from Syria, but I said everything I have to say about Syria at the top of the show, you know? And frankly, my head would have exploded by now if I kept it up. this is really... Syria is Syria, you know, and to take it as less than that is to make a grievous error. And there's a very important quote by James Madison that says, you know, the atrocities you carry on abroad in the name of defense are going to come home to visit you. And I don't have the very exact quote, but that's basically what he's saying. And I read that years ago and thought, bingo, that's it. That's my new quote. Tell me some of your favorite quotes. Do you have any favorite quotes?
My favorite quotes, well, I'm trying to find this right now, is Howard Zinn, of course, because they'll say we're disturbing the peace, but there is no peace. What bothers them is that we're disturbing the war.
Good one.
Oh, this is another one of my, you've come to the right place for quotes. I have tons in my head. George Orwell, political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give the appearance of solidarity to pure wind.
I hope you will continue.
Here's one from, where's my quote book?
Well, I'm going to tell you
the biggest lesson. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever read the book Tuesdays with Maury?
Sorry?
Tuesdays with Maury was about a college professor whose student kept in touch with him, and eventually when he was dying, he visited him every Tuesday, and Maury would tell him what's important about life, but it all comes down to this: be compassionate be compassionate and take responsibility for each other. And
that's
my favorite quote: be compassionate and take responsibility for each other. There's so much would be right with the world if we could live by that credo.
Absolutely. You know, here's a wonderful quote. This is, I think, very perfect. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. And that's attributed to Joel Barker, who actually, by the way, I'm not sure who he is, but I found that recently. And
what's the famous one by that guitarist, Jimi Hendrix? The famous quote by him.
I can't remember.
When the power of love exceeds the love of power, the world will know peace.
We will know peace. Yeah. We like to say. I'll share with you very quickly. When I was very small, when we went to the moon for the first time, and they showed it on TV, I saw the Earth, as we all did, like a blue marble from the moon on the TV screen. And I said to my dad, oh my gosh, where's like the borders on those puzzles that we do and stuff? I don't see any borders. And he said, there aren't any borders. We made, they're only on maps. And I declared with glee, was I 6 or 7 years old maybe, Earth from the moon, no borders, we made them up. And more in what I do these days, which I try to kind of stay out of politics in the sense of I want to share my love and my friendship and whatever I have in the days that I do have left from that place. But is love is how we will ask for peace.
We
will ask for peace.
That is so beautiful. Oh.
Thank you.
That's special. Unity among people is where I'm so pleased to see people who normally turn a blind eye to the atrocities of war. They don't question anything. Everybody seems to get this. Everybody's questioning Syria. Everybody. And from the guys who are, you know, hate Middle Easterners, even they are questioning why we would be bombing a country for bombing themselves. Let's say they bombed themselves. Why would we bomb them for bombing themselves?
Well, my other favorite quote from Martin Luther King, which isn't quite relative to what you just said, is, but it's that, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And to say that we're going to solve anything, a humanitarian crisis or anything of that nature, with force, meaning murder, bombing, misery, bloodshed, maiming, grief, is an oxymoron. How can you solve peace with violence? You can't. You can't.
Oh, Christine, I'm so glad you called into my show today.
I am too. I've never been on the radio before. I'm feeling very weird because I just realized everything I said got recorded on some show or something.
Well, everything you've said so far has been very filled with wisdom. You're quoting the greats. You can't go wrong. Oh God.
Well,
I think
you ever need a few quotes, just call on me.
Well, there are a lot of good ones out there too. A lot of people have spent a lot of time thinking of how to solve the dilemma, which is a crisis of the few. It's the few people who have a deliberate control freaks who are out to depopulate our world, who are making everybody's lives in misery. I used to be in comedy, and I can't think of a joke these days. I can't rack my brain and come up with a joke these days. Nothing's funny anymore.
Well, actually, if things aren't funny, then they're just what they are. That's from my favorite movie, 1,000 Clowns of Jason Robards. Because, I know what you're saying. It's so hard not to get angry, and I do get angry, and then I have to put it off to the side and sort of analogously speaking, pretend that off here to the left is a little pile of, like, it looks like salt or sugar or something, but that's anger. And then in front of me, I imagine what matters to me, what's my passion, love, friendship, interconnectedness, that we're all related, we're all connected. And for example, you could say, who are the people that we want to, or our government wants to bomb in Syria? Any one of those people could donate a kidney to you or to me or to one of our children, you know, so think of it like that. So in front of me are all those things that are of a more positive nature, and to take my frustration and my anger, which are off the left in a little pile, like, say, salt, and take a snippet of it and sprinkle it on top of my passion and my love and my will to do good in the world. So it fuels the positive energy instead of coming from the anger. I use a little dose of it to go forward with my love and what I can share to make the world a better place.
Well, I was just talking to my niece, and I told her, I said, I believe that you will do great things, and I am making all the connections you will ever need to further whichever cause you decide to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And I've laid out a whole bunch of causes for her. She's a very smart child and a very soulful child. And I said, these are all the things I'm working on or have worked on. And she said, anti-trafficking, that's the one I want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, well, actually, that's the issue that brought me to activism was an article in the New York Times about children in Thailand who were being raped as many as 20 times for profit. And I wrote to the Secretary General of the United Nations, and I said to him, do you realize this is happening? And he sent me back the thickest book I've ever received on the conventions on the rights of the or something about human rights and children, and it was about harvesting organs, taking children to chop shops and harvesting them for their organs. And you know what? I sat there, I read it, and I thought, well, would you rather be, as a 5-year-old, would you rather be raped 20 times a day till you die, or would you rather be brought to a chop shop and have it over in no time at all? You know, I mean, this is what they've got to choose from. This is what a large portion of the Earth's children, this is their choice.
Well, you know, I'm hearing in my head again, or I just want to say again, love is how we'll ask for peace. I mean, peace could mean any number of things, not necessarily lack of war, because lack of war itself doesn't necessarily equal peace. But that, and not to sound corny or misinformed, but somehow, I mean, it's, people are so, there's this us versus them mentality, not just necessarily, and I'm not referencing the 99% versus the 1%, I'm not talking about that, but an us versus them, meaning people want to identify with something, want to feel like they belong. So I'm over here in this group, and we're better than you, or I'm better than you, and I'm right, and you're wrong. And so many people are so caught up in that spin. Where do we stop? Where do we just slow down and stop being dizzy and in some trance that the TV puts us in, or the commercials, or this created need, thinking we need to buy stuff all the time? Because it's so hard for most people to even have anything jolt that trance for one moment and to really see things as they are in the world. It's very difficult for a lot of people. It's too much of a jolt. It's traumatizing just to see the reality of this world today, and to just give love wherever you can, and, you know, share and extend a hand in friendship, and read and understand, like, all the things you've been talking about, some of the things that I've shared. I read a lot and I connect a lot of dots, but very rarely do I talk about most of it, except in so far as it can translate through the thing that I've already said a couple of times, which is the first duty of love is to listen. And by the way, Sally, for anyone listening, silent and listen are spelled with the same letters.
Interesting. Sweetheart,
and listening is love.
That's so true. And, you know, here I was cutting you off half the time, Christine. we're about to go off the air. Would you like to leave everyone with a parting note?
I would just say, do your best to be a good person in the world, and remember that everything's connected. And as Martin Luther King said, what affects all indirectly affects all directly, or the opposite of that. And that the most important question you can ever ask is, what can I do for somebody else?
I'm going to end with another MLK quote, which is, we must learn to live together as brothers, or we will perish together as fools.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, Sally, thank you for having me on the show and letting me share. I hope some people might get something out of it. I just talked off the top of my head, so I have no idea what I said pretty much. But anyway, thank you.
Sure, Christine Kasner, beautiful soul. Thank you for calling into my show. Everybody,
you're welcome, Sally.
Thank you, dear. I'm going to tell everyone to please visit my blog, BillionToddlerMarchForSurvival.blogspot.com, and get active with me. Good night, everyone. Thank you, dear Christine. Bye.
You're welcome, Sally. Bye.